Jan Vermeulen from mybroadband.co.za is on the line.
Hi there, how are you doing?
I'm doing most well, and you, Jan?
I'm doing well. How's social distancing treating you?
How to respond to that. I'm just thinking, like, if anybody is geared up for this period, it's going to be you. I mean, you must have every toy in the world linked and connected and good to go.
Yeah, it's surprising how little you actually need to work remotely. Obviously, it depends on what kind of job you do. But yeah, there's if you're an office worker, and there's no reason for you to physically interact with people on a regular basis. Like if you can communicate over email or teleconferencing or anything like that, then you don't need anything fancy to get going. But yeah, obviously that's a privilege that's only available to a very few of us here in South Africa. But it's something that around the world I think is actually quite widespread. Having these facilities available, like if you've got fiber to your house and a laptop computer, then you're good to go, really.
No, 100%, and I've got no doubt that this is going to change the way we work in South Africa, you know, forevermore. That is for sure. But something I wanted to ask you about, because I was notified on my phone a little earlier this afternoon that my internet provider apparently is providing me with extra speed and more bandwidth at no charge. And I see that your website, mybroadband.co.za, leads with the same story. What's all that about, Jan?
Yeah, so this comes after Vumatel announced that it's going to upgrade the speeds of its existing fiber base from 1 April until 31 May to make it easier for people to stay connected from home and a bit of an incentive, I guess, as well, to stay home and do some stuff. And so I think a lot of people were kind of worried. You know, suddenly the whole family is online and they've got or is at home and have nothing better to do than to hang out on the internet all day, depending on what kind of circumstances you live in. Obviously, if you're in some kind of farmstead, then you'll have plenty to do, while the rest of us who are cooped up in apartments in the cities, have very limited entertainment options. And so, this is in a response to that, and perhaps to build some goodwill, and to foster some positivity in this very uncertain time. So yeah, Vumatel announced it's going to be, upgrading people's speeds, pretty much doubling them and sometimes more than doubling them. People who are on 200 megabit per second packages are going to be upgraded to a gigabit per second, for that time. Okay. And, ISPs have said that they're going to be implementing these upgrades as fiber providers roll them out. Then we contacted Frogfoot and OpenServ to ask them if they're going to be climbing on the bandwagon. Frogfoot confirmed, and they announced this afternoon that they're doubling everybody's line speeds. OpenServ provided some conditions under which it'll be happening.
Jan, is there the capacity to do this? Was this spare capacity just sitting there waiting to be used and charged for, and now time has caused them to give it away?
I don't think so. So the thing is, spare capacity is a difficult thing because it has to come from the wholesale side, right? So the fiber network operator, Vumatel, Frogfoot in this case, and sorry, I need to correct the previous statement. OpenServ didn't say anything. When we asked them if they're going to be doing upgrades, they were completely silent. It costs a certain amount of money for fiber network operators like Frogfoot and Vumatel to roll out and to maintain networks in a certain area. And the way they recoup those costs is on a sliding scale of line speed sales, right? So if you're on a 4 megabit per second or 5 megabit per second account, I don't think you make Vumatel any money. They basically barely break even on you. And then they start making a profit the higher the speeds go. And so those profits are then plowed back into the network to expand it, to increase capacity and that sort of thing. And so in terms of international connectivity, I think that there's a lot of spare capacity there. But in terms of the actual local capacity, it's a difficult calculation to say, yeah, they just had this in reserve and activated it. It's gonna be about like amortization. It's going to be about like how quickly these network operators want to pay off their investments and continue to upgrade the networks, plow those profits back into the networks. And so basically I think what this comes down to is they've gone, cool, you know, for this period, we're not going to make as much profit as we would have normally. And so, you know, we won't be able to expand as aggressively in that period anyway. And so we might as well use that money, to give people some upgrades.
Very quickly, in the little time that's left, Jan, take us through some of the major stories in the world of tech this week.
Yeah, so even in the world of tech, the coronavirus, COVID-19, and the disease that causes COVID-19 has been dominating the headlines. So firstly, a quick one, YouTube has made standard definition the default resolution around the world because of a lot of, especially I think smaller networks are complaining about the increase in traffic, and so they are reducing the resolution of videos. There was, even despite everything that's happening, a critical security flaw has been discovered in Windows 10. It's got to do with the way certain fonts are handled. And so people, be careful. This is a vulnerability that's still active. There's no patch for it yet. And you can trigger it by simply previewing a document that uses a certain font in Windows 10. So you have a choice. You can either disable previews or just be incredibly circumspect about which documents you preview and open. Also, despite the uncertain times, Nokia has released a new phone, a Nokia 8.3, which is the first phone, they claim to be the first phone to roam across all 5G networks. And then the last thing I wanted to chat about is some of my colleagues in the office broke down the COVID-19 stats in South Africa and made some graphs. This is yesterday's stats. The most important thing I want to tell people, there's also some great dashboards out there that you can look at that have these stats on them. But like, there was a lot of panic about the sudden jump from 274 active cases to 402. Confirmed cases. And firstly, recoveries are not currently being reported. There have been at least 4 recoveries that have been reported. And secondly, that stat ignores the number of tests that have been conducted. And so yesterday's spike in the number of confirmed cases, 128 new cases, came hand in hand with a spike in the number of new test results that came in. So yesterday was the highest ever number of test results that came in, 3,500. The previous day was under 2,000, 1,890. And so yes, naturally there's going to be a spike in confirmed cases because there's been a spike in tests. And so for folks, that doesn't mean that things aren't as bad as all that. There's a reason there's a lockdown coming into effect, but certainly just a plea from my side to please read statistics in context. For the 400 cases is actually really not a lot, sadly. There's going to be many more cases reported in the coming days. The cases that we are testing for now are the infections that happened before the lockdowns were even put in place. So we'll only be able to measure the effects of the lockdown in the weeks to come.
Jan van Meulen, thank you for your level-headed advice. I think that is absolutely important. If you're going to read stats, read them properly. And beware of the fake news that's out there, because my goodness me, there is a lot of it. Jan van Meulen, thank you so much. Look forward to speaking to you same time next week.
Yes, catch you next week.